My name Dave.
Hi, Dave.
Is that, I'm getting picked up, right? Yeah. I got told I got to be close. Thanks, Crystal, for carrying a message in Narcotics Anonymous. I like hearing that, and I forgot that I was doing the chair, and then we had the break. I think that there's a couple of things I need to go ahead and say off the bat that are more reminders for me, probably, than for you. One of the first things I was taught when I got to Narcotics Anonymous was an opinion, and that was to stay away from opinions and advice, and to stick to experience. That, you know, we talk a lot about sticking with the winners in Narcotics Anonymous, and for me, the winners are the people that are sharing their experience. The proper Narcotics Anonymous is simple experience shared one addict to another. I might try to share some opinions tonight. Because I'm full of them, right? And I can't always, sometimes I try to code it and make you think that I'm not sharing one. I make it try to sound like experience. So pay attention because I might be talking crap, right? And that's okay if you like the opinion, cool. But if not, then it doesn't matter because it's my ideas. And my ideas are pretty messed up, you know? And my advice is me telling you what I think you should do. And I haven't even done it, so screw that, right? Stick with the experience. The second thing is that... is to not take my word for it. I have found in my time in Narcotics Anonymous that everybody I know in Narcotics Anonymous, especially my sponsor, has let me down, right? There have been a night or two when I've wanted to use and I've called and I've called and I've called and everybody's been asleep. And it's not that they didn't want to answer the phone, they just didn't, right? The thing that always answers the call, that's always there, that never lets me down, is this literature. My basic text, my It Works How and Why, even my step working guide, all the literature that we publish, I find hope in it. Always, right? It never goes away. And it's not that the words change, but I change every time I read it. So it's always new, or at least fresh, right? It's like, you know, you're in a meeting and you think you know what that guy's going to say before he opens his mouth because you've heard him share so many times in a meeting, and then all of a sudden he opens his mouth, and you say, well, this time I'm going to listen to him because I'm supposed to be practicing open-mindedness, and you listen, and he actually says something that you can relate to, right? And I used to think, oh, I'm not going to read that basic text. I've already read it, you know, countless times. I'm not going to find anything new in there, and then I do it anyways because nobody's answering the phone, right? And I find something new. It's always happening. So for me, I value that. I value it because it's always there. It's always there. And usually, I'll put it this way. This is our program, right? Our 12 steps of Narcotics Anonymous, our 12 traditions, our 12 concepts. That's our name, nature, and purpose. You guys are interpreting that. So am I. And I'm broken, you know, and I'm full of opinions. And so I may go pioneering out by myself and go down some screwed up path all by myself because I'm by myself, right? This is us. This is we, you know, and I can rely on this, this being our literature, you know. And so don't take my word for it. If I say something that you don't, you say, no way, then call your sponsor and go to the book, you know. It might be there. And if it's there, cool. If it's not, then forget I said it. I think that's it. Right? No, I still got to share. I have this open to our 12 steps and our 12 traditions because really, like Crystal, I don't think that you need a review of what it was like to use. When I showed up to Narcotics Anonymous, I was 18 years old. I was in a town full of retired people. When I went to my first meeting, if there was hair on somebody's head, it was gray. And I was convinced that my life was over, this was going to suck forever, and that there was nothing that was ever going to be fun again. But where I was coming from was a place, a space where I couldn't imagine life with or without drugs, right? I would use, and drugs would step on me, and then I would use, and drugs would step on me, and I could not stop. I was using against my will, and I hated it. And I had been trying to stop. And every effort that I made failed. The common thread there, correlation doesn't equal causation, but the common thread was that I was trying by myself. I was trying to do it on my own. Every idea I had, I tried it. And to be honest with you, if I had another idea, I'd be out there trying to do it right now. I ran out of ideas. I didn't even know Narcotics Anonymous existed. I was reasonably pretty young, younger than anybody else I saw at the time. And all I knew was that, you know, rehab was where bad kids went, and I was convinced I was one of those, and so I went, and they took me to a Narcotics Anonymous meeting, and that's where I found hope, period. And I hadn't found hope, I hadn't experienced hope or heard it or anything that resembled hope for so long, I didn't recognize it when I heard it. The message that we have in Narcotics Anonymous is that an addict, any addict, can stop using drugs, lose the desire to use, and find a new way to live. And that's a message of hope and the promise of freedom. That's a promise that we, you and me, no matter where we come from, what we did, how much we used, how little we used, how we used it, where we used it, doesn't matter. We have the opportunity to get clean and stay clean and find a new way to live. And that's a promise. Like, that's not a theory. That's not some idea that maybe you could. No, that's real. That's real. That happens. And we can look around this room and we can see it happening right now tonight. That it's a Friday night. And I know what I used to do on a Friday night. That was like, you know, any day that ended in Y I was using, but a Friday was like Friday, you know what I mean? So, and yet we're here, and we're here talking about recovery, you know, and getting goosebumps about it. That's crazy. You know, that's cool. That's cool. So for me, when I showed up to Narcotics Anonymous, the thing that was like big, was desperation, right? I was trying for so long and I couldn't stop. And everything I tried to do didn't work. And I was isolated, lonely, and terrified, right? Terrified. and I was 18 and I was a chump, right? I did not want to hang out with you guys, and I didn't want to hang out with old people, and that's all it was. But I heard hope for the first time. And that's the thing that caught my ears. And I believe, and maybe I'm wrong, so maybe it's an opinion, but I believe that's the only thing that catches us when we come up in here, is the hope. And for me, that reminds me that I better carry a message of hope when I'm in a meeting, right? When I'm in Narcotics Anonymous, if I'm clean and I consider myself a member, we all say you're a member when you say you are, but membership comes with responsibility. I've got a responsibility to help protect the atmosphere of recovery in the meeting. How do I do that? I stick to my experience. And what is my experience if it's not full of hope? That I was in a place where I could not stay clean despite myself, right? And nothing anybody ever did got me clean. You know, no amount of praying or diagnosing or, you know, institutionalization, none of it kept me clean, none of it. And I come here to Narcotics Anonymous and I sit around a bunch of y'all that are just like me, just a bunch of addicts, you know what I mean? The pretty sick people, right? The people that I was told to stay away from. And you guys got me clean, you know? And you helped me stay clean. And not just that, but you give me hope that it's going to be awesome. And yeah, that it's going to be awesome. Yeah, we say, oh, well, it'll get different. I'm not going to say it's always going to be good. No, it's not always going to be good, but it's going to be awesome. Even if it's bad, it's awesome. Why? Because I'm clean and I couldn't stay clean. Anyways, all right. So I get to the point in recovery. Well, really, the point in coming to meetings and staying clean, I wasn't really recovering, right? Recovery is an active change of our ideas and attitudes, and I couldn't do that without working the steps. And so I got to that place that I'm sure we all get to, or maybe we don't all get to it. There's that one guy saying, well, I never get to that. And okay, that's fine. You don't get to it. But most of us get to this place where we've been to enough meetings and we're not doing anything to change, right? We're just going to meetings and drinking the coffee and, you know, whatever. And we begin to predict what other people are going to say. We begin to kind of get bored and resentful and complacent. And I was there at like 3 months, you know? I was going to a meeting every day, but I got there. And it became a time of, okay, well, am I going to work the steps or not? That was the option, right? I'm either going to do this or I'm not going to do this. And that's what this is. This is a 12-step program, right? I don't go to a 12-step program not to work the steps. I don't. Other people might, that's fine, but but this is what I do, right? And this is how I've stayed clean. I got there, and I got to that place where I was complacent and resentful, and I became disinterested. And it's only a matter of time when I'm disinterested before I could become disconnected. And if I'm disconnected, I'm screwed, right? I hear you guys talk about it all the time. Maybe not y'all, but, you know, people that come back from relapse, they're like, yeah, I just stopped going to meetings, and boom, you know? A lot of other stuff happens, but the end result is using. And I've never heard anybody come back and say it was awesome out there. You know what I mean? And it's awesome in here, so I'd rather stick with the awesome. So I get to this point where I'm ready to work the steps, and I find this sponsor, and dude was different than I was in every respect, right? Totally different on the outside. And what I found out by him sitting down with me and sharing some things about himself that I had done and felt and thought, but was not going to tell him. Right, he was sitting down and telling me this stuff that I could relate to. He lowered the sense of difference between me and him so that I became willing to do some things that I was sure were not going to work, right? But I was willing to do them because I could relate to him so much. I mean, he was 50 years older than I was, right? And he was old, and he was all, you know, he's falling apart. And it's true, I mean, he was. And he was filled with this energy and this enthusiasm for recovery, and It came from him working the steps. And I could see it, and I wanted that. And you can't fake this, right? This light that turns on when we wake up spiritually, when we wake up. And I get goosebumps. I've got them now, you know, when that hope becomes real. When it becomes my experience too. Not my hope that it's your experience that it will maybe happen to me, but that when it's starting to happen to me and not just you, right? And he was living in that space, right? He was a pretty good example. And I wanted to be like that. So I started working the steps. And I found in the first step, like what our basic text talks about, that the disease, that using drugs is a symptom of this disease. We do this sometimes, right? We go back and forth. Some of us in Narcotics Anonymous are convinced that the only thing that matters is just not using. And then there's other people that talk about recovery. I don't want to just not use. I'll get bored and complacent and resentful again. My disease was a lot more than just using drugs. Recovery is a lot more than just staying clean, you know? And I find it in our basic text. I find that validation that I'm looking for, where I want to know that it's not just about the drugs. I don't want it to be just about the drugs. I want life. I want more. You know what I mean? And so I found in that first step that this is a disease that affects me physically, mentally, and spiritually. And if I do the math, that's everything. That's all I got. You know what I mean? So I better pay attention, you know? And I got to be honest with myself, right? We invest a lot in sponsorship, and sponsorship is vital, right? That's the heartbeat of this program. But by gosh, this step work is about me and my higher power. It's about me getting in connection with that source of love and acceptance that I've been seeking my whole life, right? That's my understanding of it. You don't have to have that, whatever. It's not about me and my sponsor. My sponsor puts my hand and God's hand together. That's what that's about for me. That's been my experience. And I get to that point because what I'm trying to say is, in this first step, the question I must ask myself is, am I done? Have I surrendered, right? Because if I think that I can get back in the ring with Mike Tyson and maybe knock him out, then I've got to get back in the ring. I have to. I'm forced to. If I still think I have an idea of how to use successfully, I'm almost forced to do it, to try it. You know what I mean? So when I showed up, that gift of desperation that I was talking about, I had surrendered. You know what I mean? And I was worried because all these people would always talk about reservations and be like, you better not have any reservations. And I was paranoid that I had reservations I didn't know about. And I was laying in bed at night, seriously, staying awake and wondering, like, just going through a bunch of what ifs. Like, no, I don't think I'd use if that happened. Oh, I don't think so, you know. There's got to be something, you know. Because I was terrified to go back, you know. I was terrified to go back. But the truth of the matter is, my sponsor cannot read my mind. You know, it can't. And that works a couple of different ways. One way, it's on me. I cannot blame my sponsor for anything. You know what I mean? This is on me. My step work's on me. And for me, what I've been taught. Maybe this is an opinion, so take it with a grain of salt. Because my sponsor can't read my mind, my sponsor doesn't know when I'm ready to move on to the next step. It's up to me. I had a guy try to prevent me from moving on to the next step, and I got a new sponsor. He said, well, you didn't answer this right. And I was like, well, dang, you know, bull plop, I'm going to move on, and I got to get another sponsor. I want this hope. I want what you guys are offering. I don't want to be in detention or the remedial classroom. You know what I mean? So this sponsor, he was, I don't even know where I was at. What? Stupid water. Hold on. I got distracted. The first step. So the surrender, right? And if we've got the surrender, and if I can answer honestly to myself, right? That's what it is. Do I know every time I get into the ring, I might go one round, I might go 12 rounds, but in the end, I will be on the ground, knocked out, cold. Do I know that down to my toenails? You know? And if I do, the world opens up. The surrender for it to win, right? I'm open up to the hope that you guys promised me. The opportunity, I am free to recover after this first step for me. You know, it was, yeah, of course, it was a pretty dark picture looking at myself and my disease. I'm not, you know, of course, that's pretty bad. But the end of it, and for me, it's always, I find that the real purpose of the step that I'm on really shows itself in the next step. And so I got a pretty grim picture, and I was left with nothing. I was, you know, the first step offered me a problem. And if I have the solution, it's not the first step, right? I've got to be clear that I don't have the answer, you know? I need something different, something new. And that's where that second step is for me. That I got opened up to something different. That's something that can restore me to sanity. And in the beginning, for me, that something different was Narcotics Anonymous, you know? I'm like a lot of people. I had a problem with the word God, and, you know, today I use it as a placeholder for my understanding. Or lack of, right? It's pretty easy to spell. Most of y'all know what I'm talking about, so we'll just keep it at that. And so when I say God for the rest of the time, you know, it's your own interpretation, whatever. But I got to this point in the first step where I knew I had surrendered. And that gave me the opportunity to open up for the freedom to recover. The opportunity for something different. And it's been stressed upon me over and over and over by the various sponsors that I've had. Don't pass over that second step with a minimum of concern. You know what I mean? The second step is pretty freaking important. You know, it's pretty important. Am I convinced that this is it? That you guys have what I want, right? That Narcotics Anonymous offers me hope and freedom. And if I'm convinced of that, I'm ready to try it out. And for me, that's what that third step is. Always giving the step before meaning when I move on to the next step. That third step for me is about living this way of life. I learned everything I need to know to stay clean in the first 30, 60, 90 days. You know what I mean? Go to meetings, get a sponsor, call the sponsor, pray, talk to others, and try to help somebody else, right? Read the literature. I learned that pretty quickly. But there's a difference between what I know and what I do. Just like there's a difference between how I feel and what I think, right? There's a difference between how I feel, what I think, and what I do. I've found that for me, oh boy, you know, my thoughts and my feelings, those are for entertainment purposes. You know what I mean? They're going to change. They're going to come and they're going to go, and I can't rely on them, and I surely cannot rely on them to decide whether or not I'm doing okay. You know, because if I think about myself long enough, I hate myself, you know? And so what matters, right, is what I do. And so for this third step, for me, the best way I practice this third step is to live this Narcotics Anonymous way of life. I give it a shot. I test it. I see if it works. You know what I mean? Because my first time I was in this third step, I was still not like 100% there. I was still young. I was still a chump, a punk. You couldn't tell me anything except my sponsor. You know, he was cool. Everybody else, full of crap. You know what I mean? And so what I thought was, okay, I'm going to get a year. I'm going to get my medallion, because in America we get these medallions. People says a little speech about you, all this kind of stuff, right? And I'm going to roll out, and I'm going to prove to them that this was wrong, you know? But I'm going to work the 12 steps first to make sure I was right. And so I started living this way of life. And the first action that I get to do to live this way of life, the first thing I get to embark on is that fourth step. And when I was making a beginning on a four-step the first time, all I heard was people saying it was hard and scary and bad and tough. And come to find out, those people hadn't worked a four-step. And the people that had worked the four-step were the people I was not listening to. And they were like, oh, it's simple, it's fine, it doesn't kill you, you're going to be okay. You know, and I know a lot of people, I've worked a lot of four-steps, and I know a lot of people that have worked a lot of four-steps, a lot more than I have, and none of them are dead. And none of them died because of the four-step, you know what I mean? And they didn't use over it. Like, they're clean, and they have what I want. So, you know, that's what I can say about that four-step. And in the process of the fifth step, what I found was the exact nature of all my wrongs, right? This is the core of my disease. It's self-obsession, right? And we read it in our basic text. Self-obsession, the core of our disease. And self-centered fear, in the step working guide, I love that passage. It talks about, if you boil it all down, it becomes you're looking at a swamp of self-centered fear. And I tell you, I've been trudging through that swamp my whole life, right? Even after I got clean, still terrified, right? What do you think of me? I was nervous tonight, right? Because I'm scared you're not going to like me. But I'm not going to see half of y'all again, probably, right? For a couple weeks or whatever. And you will have already forgotten about me, right? I'm not that important, right? But I think I am. Because I'm self-obsessed, right? Because of the core of my disease. That's my default. I wake up in the morning and boom, I'm thinking about me. And if I let that last long enough, like I've already said, doesn't matter how long I've been clean, how many people I sponsor, how much service work I've done, how many times I've been through the steps, if I think about myself long enough, I hate myself, right? That's the way it is. And when I hate myself, I start to do some stuff that hurts people and myself, you know? And I try to do things that prevent me from feeling that way. You know, and the thing that I've found that's the most effective at that is recovery. Now, I try a lot of other stuff as well. You know what I mean? And we all do, probably. You know, some of us, even tonight, you know, like, right, food or sex or money or gambling or whatever, buying things like shoes. I have new shoes, you know. I just got them like 2 weeks ago because I don't need them. But I was in America and everything's cheaper there. And I was like, well, I got to buy these. They're cheaper. Whatever. I get reminded of the root of this, my self-obsession, and that springs up as self-centered fear, and that springs up in 1,000 different ways, right? The self-centered fear looks like what we call character defects and shortcomings. For me, any character defect, any shortcoming, whatever you want to call it, if I boil it down, I can find the fear in it. And what is that? It's a lack of faith, right? And it's me thinking that I got to do this on my own. It's me thinking I'm by myself. And that's just not true anymore. I'm here in Narcotics Anonymous. Baseline, I'm in Narcotics Anonymous. Never alone, never again. You know? I've got a welcome hug when I show up here. Why? Because of our traditions. And if I have enough time, I'll get into that. Probably won't. But that was it. That fifth step opened my eyes to the root of this disease for me. Self-obsession. Millions of different forms of fear. Right? And I get to see how it ruined my life, how it wrecked my life. And it wasn't so much the fear that wrecked my life, it was my inability to manage it, right? I'm completely incapable of managing it, just like the obsession to use. I cannot ignore it, contain it, compartmentalize it, manage it, whatever. I cannot get rid of that. So I got to rely on something better than me, bigger than me, more powerful than I am. You know, and in the beginning, all over again, it was Narcotics Anonymous. Today, I have a different understanding of what my higher power is. I rely on that higher power to remove that fear. Whoops. But I got a real clear picture that this fear is just like the obsession to use. And if I try to control it, if I try to manage it, I'm stepping into a roller coaster ride, and I don't know when it's going to stop. You know what I mean? So I may as well not get on. How do I do that? Continuing on with the steps, right? I mean, that's it. So in the sixth step, I mean, that's when it becomes clear to me. I get to take a look at this. I get to zone out or zoom out and take a look at the big picture and see that really is this disease and my inability to control it. And so long as I'm fighting that or thinking that I have the idea that I can manage it, I'm screwed. And if you come into contact with me, you're probably screwed too. You know what I mean? Bad news. So I may as well let go. I may as well not do the thing that causes me pain, you know? And what am I fighting for anyways? right? Like, I lost sight of that. I lost sight of that in my active addiction, and I lose sight of that when I'm living in a spiritual blackout in recovery. I'm fighting everyone, and I don't even know what I'm trying to win. That sucks, you know? It's disappointing at best. Because I can't win anything, you know? You guys aren't giving out awards. So, again, I let go, and I ask for help. It's a, over and over and again, I get reminded that I'm not alone, and that probably the best course of action is to ask for help. And so for me, a lot of that seventh step is reminding myself who's the ocean, who's the wave. You know what I mean? Who's around? Who's been around? You know, and who's just here for a moment? And when I get reminded of, you know, of that, for me a lot, it helps me reprioritize my values, you know, which I found a lot of my values through the process of these steps, and mostly through that fourth and that fifth step. I value peace of mind, you know what I mean? I value that serenity that I've got today through the process, these steps in Narcotics Anonymous. I don't want to give that up. I don't want to, you know, I've got, that's important. And what gets in the way of that? It's me. It's always me. It's my fear. And it's me trying to control how you think about me, whether or not you like me, and whether or not I can get that thing that I think if I get it, then you're going to like me more. You know what I mean? It's always about you and like how I relate to you and whether or not I'm better or less than, all that kind of stuff. And so when I can let that go, it's that self-centered fear, it's that self-obsession, when I can let that go and ask for that to be removed, dude, it's a lot more peaceful. So I value that, so I try to do that. And I keep moving on in these steps, and I find in the process of the eighth and the ninth step, well, let me just take a look at who got affected by my disease. Right? Who is affected by my using? Who is affected by my fear? And it's a trip. I mean, you know, we all got our own experiences with this process. And for me, the process of the eighth step reminds me that I am not perfect and I make tons of mistakes because I'm making a list, basically, of who's been affected by my mistakes. What does that do for me? When I go out of my little house and interact with the world, it allows me to give you the benefit of the doubt. Like, maybe you're just like me, which is human. You know what I mean? Broken. Like, okay, spiritually ill, whatever. If you're sick, like with the flu, I'm not going to hate you for getting the flu. You know what I mean? Well, maybe you're just sick spiritually the way I am, and I can't see it. And the symptoms are, you're an asshole. You know what I mean? So I can give you the benefit of the doubt because I've definitely been that guy before and I will be again. You know, I definitely will be again because I go into these blackouts all the time. So the good thing about being in a spiritual blackout is that I go to Narcotics Anonymous and you guys here nudge me back towards principles. And by the time I'm back to being familiar and close to those principles, it's your turn. And I'm nudging you. You know what I mean? You're in that blackout, and I get to nudge you with love and gratitude back towards those principles. And this eighth step really helps me out with that a lot, you know, because I get to remind myself that I'm totally fundamentally broken, and I cannot fix myself. I need help, you know. then I move on to that ninth step, and I find that just like every time I sit down with my, I've been through the step several times, right? So I'm convinced when I sit down with my sponsor to go over a step, I know exactly what he's going to say. I know what I'm going to learn. I've done this enough, you know, I've got it. And something different happens. Same thing happens with the ninth step for me. I go to an amiz. I'm like, all right, I know this person. I know what I did. I know how I'm going to go about doing this. I've got a plan, you know. So I think by transitive property that I know how it's going to go, but it never goes that way. You know what I mean? So the ones I think are good don't go so good. The ones I think are going to be scary and bad go really well, whatever. And some of them are just indifferent. The point is not how they go. The point is that I do it. If I don't do it, I'm reserving a place in my program for relapse. I've read that. I don't want that. You know, I don't want those reservations. You know, like I was staying up at night scared that I had them. And I read, like, if I don't do this, I've got one, then I definitely don't want it, you know, so I'm going to do the ninth step. And I find freedom from it. I find freedom from it. I can go through my hometown. I was just in my hometown, as Daniel said, topping up my accent, right? And I was there, and I can walk down the street, not look over my shoulder, and not be scared of who I'm going to run into. There's people I prefer not to run into, obviously, sure. But if I see somebody, I can look them in the eye, shake their hand, and say, hey, how are you doing? That's a lot of freedom for me. Like, and that like seems like a small thing, but it's not, right? That's not. Not to us, at least, right? I mean, that's powerful. All right, so I do that ninth step and I'm recovered, right? No, I got a couple more steps to go through. And for me, like, I don't like to make broad generalizations, but part of me being an addict means that I like a quick fix. You know what I mean? Like, I don't like to feel bad for too long. I don't like to be bored, whatever. I always want to be on the go, something, something, something. And I used to think that, like, the quick fix was the dope. You know what I mean? That's going to change the way I feel. And then it stopped working, and that sucked, right? So I, in recovery, I found that the quickest fix I've got is this 10th step. That's it. I take a look at my life. I stay vigilant. I stay as close to these principles as I can. I say close to these principles, right? Because for me, these principles are my values. And the farther I am from my values, the more opportunity there is for fear to pop up. If I'm close to my values, if I'm close to these spiritual principles that we talk about, there's less room for fear. I think, literally think about it like a continuum, like physically, I want to be close to this, you know, which usually means I'm close to y'all, and I'm close to meetings, and I'm close to the phone, and I'm close to my literature, you know, and like, that allows me to be closer to doing the practicing these principles or doing the right thing. But I don't know about right and wrong. That's probably entertainment purposes too. You know what I mean? Like, let's stick to what helps us grow spiritually, because what's right for you may not be right. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I'm not going to tell you if something's right or wrong. I'm going to try to do the next thing that helps me grow spiritually. Because I used to think a lot of stuff was right. And everything we know is subject for revision, especially what we know about the truth, right? You know? So, anyways, this 10th step allows me the opportunity to be the person of principle that I wanted to be. And my buddy, okay, wow. My buddy, and who lives in this redneck town, Cumberland Plateau of Tennessee, he always says, when we talk about the 10th step, he says, Dave, it's best to eat crow warm, which eating crow means saying I'm wrong, you know, and it's better to do that right away, you know, because if you let it sit, that crow gets disgusting, you know, and so I found that the more I'm doing this stuff, the more I'm involved in the middle of the boat, middle of the plate, off, not near the edge, whatever you guys want to say, the more I'm doing that stuff, the less I really need the corrective part of the step, you know? And then it becomes a matter of being present, that this 10th step allows me to be present in the moment with you, not thinking about, is there something better I could be doing? You know what I mean? That's a lot of freedom too. We're talking about freedom all night long, right? Freedom. And then I move into, so I keep that 10th step in my pocket, you know what I mean? And I stay vigilant, and I practice that integrity, right? And I try to keep my eyes open and see, and what am I doing? Am I messing it up? Am I scared? What am I scared of? You know, it's always what you think of me. It's always what you think of me. Still right now, in this moment, you know, I might be scared that I'm pissing somebody off, and they're going to call their sponsor, and they're going to say I suck, right? I probably won't even know, you know? And you're the one with the resentment anyway, so screw it, right? Because you're drinking the poison expecting me to die, and I'm not going to die. I'm right here. Anyways, the 11th step, I get to, how do I say this? I found that the way I'm living today, what I get is happiness, joy, and freedom. I get that if I do this stuff in Narcotics Anonymous, if I do what you guys are doing, the people that are doing what I'm scared to do always have what I want. You know what I mean? The people that are really getting out there and getting vulnerable with their sponsor, with other people in their network, doing service work, talking to other people, giving hugs. I'm scared to do that stuff. And the people that are doing that, they have what I want. And when I do it, I get the same thing. I get that happiness, that joy, and that freedom. And I'm free from myself. I'm free from my own fear and that self-obsession that I hate. And I move along this continuum of, because I'm always a spiritual being, right? But I can be self-obsessed and spiritual, but just in this state of isolation and selfishness. Or I can move over to this other end of the continuum, which is that anonymity that we talk about, the spiritual foundation of our program. where we're equal, right? And we value each other equally. And I can see that which is greater than me inside of me and inside of you. And that place is, again, it's awesome, right? How do I get there? I get there by doing this stuff. By when I get to the end of the steps, I start over. And by, even though I think it might be homework, I work the traditions with my sponsor. I work the concepts with my sponsor. Like today, I don't think it's homework, but if you do, it's okay. If you're not working the concepts or traditions with your sponsor, ask him or her why. Why not? I heard there's principles there too. Anyways, whatever. That's an opinion. Sorry. I get to this place from doing this work where I can rely on the freedom that you promise me. And that, I believe, is my higher power's will for me. Right? And I used to think I could get it doing a bunch of other stuff, and I couldn't. I get it by doing these steps and by doing this work here. And for me, that improving that conscious contact, that comes from doing a lot of this stuff. What I'm trying to say is my understanding of my higher power's will for me is to be happy, joyous, and free. There's a lot of different ways to get there, but there's only one way to get there where I don't build up a tolerance and it always leaves me in a better condition afterwards than I was in before. And that's Narcotics Anonymous, right? Okay, so then I get to this 12th step, and I'll tell you what, this is the bread and butter. You know what I mean? This is why we're here. Like, we've all been 12-stepped. You know what I mean? Maybe not out there. I didn't get brought in by anybody out there. You know what I mean? But when I got here, you gave me a hug. You told me I was welcome. You asked me to keep coming back. You told me I was important, that I mattered. You did not love me despite being an addict. You loved me because I was an addict. And you related to me in a way that nobody else ever had. You didn't point at me and tell me what to do. You told me what you did. And I'll say this, and then I'll shut up. Like I said, I was 18 when I got clean. And I had that goal to work the 12 steps before I got my year medallion because I was going to be out this door and on to being a young person that has so much fun by myself in my closet, you know, dying. I got through the 12 steps. I worked through the 12 steps 4 times in my first 2 years of recovery, all right? And I was still young. I told myself that. And it's so funny. We're so ridiculous, us. I have such a thick head that I was working through these steps and I was like blanking on this 12th step. Because I was convinced that you guys didn't care what I had because I was too young. And I had a couple people give me a hard time when I first got clean. You know what I mean? The guys that didn't have a clue about anonymity, that thought it was about, when you see me out there, don't talk to me. You know what I mean? They didn't know it was about this acceptance thing. It was about, it doesn't matter where you're from or how long you've been clean. You're an equal member and your experience is valued here, you know? And you've got an equal shot at recovery and equal responsibility to protect the atmosphere of recovery anyways. I had a chip on my shoulder, and I was scared to share. I was scared to share my experience because I didn't think I lived long enough, you know? People saying that they used longer than I was alive. You know what I mean? Like, that sucks. today it sucks for them, not for me. Anyways, so I got to a point all over again, disconnected, disinterested. Because I was too scared. I had the solution and I was sitting in the backyard with my hands under my butt. You know what I mean? Like just sitting on it, too scared to share it. And that's, again, so this disease will come at me any way it can. You know, it was still fear, still the self-obsession, the exact nature, my disease, the root of my disease, whatever. And I almost killed myself. Like Crystal was talking about hitting a bottom in recovery that was more painful than using, and the same thing happened to me. I had this suicide letter written out, everything. I was going to do it. Not really, right? I was too scared to do it. We all would have done it if we didn't have to be there. You know what I mean? Anyways, I get there, and I call up my sponsor, and you know, I didn't kill myself. What happened was I became available. It got that bad. That I was going to die in recovery. I wasn't going to use, you know, but I was going to die. And it was because I wasn't carrying this message. Because I was too scared to try to be of service. Because I didn't think that I was qualified. And that's the biggest load of hogwash that I had ever told myself. It's a bigger load of hogwash than telling myself I couldn't stay clean. Was that I didn't have anything to share. That I didn't have a message in Narcotics Anonymous to carry. If I'm clean today, it doesn't matter how long I've been clean. right? Or how many steps, or all that kind of stuff. We are experts on our own experience. Our eight tradition tells us that, you know? And I got to carry my experience because it might help somebody else. It certainly helps me. Why? Because it allows me to remind myself that I'm a part of this thing. I belong. You know, I belong and I'm an equal member. So I started talking in meetings and I started talking after meetings and I started sharing with other people and I became available. And my recovery skyrocketed. It skyrocketed because I became available. And since then, it's been awesome. It's been awesome all over again. You know, so for me today, I just keep trying to do that stuff that I learned in the first 30, 60, 90 days. It keeps working. It keeps working. And I keep finding hope over and over again. Hope that an addict, any addict, one like me, can get clean, right? Stop using drugs, lose the desire to use, and find a new way to live. Message of hope and the promise of freedom. And I get glimpses of it every day. And sometimes what I think I try to do is make the glimpses longer and the time between the glimpses shorter, right? So maybe one day I'll just live in that freedom all the time. I'm not there yet, but maybe one day I'll get there. But I'm not perfect. I doubt I'll get there. I'm going to get damn close. All right, that's it. Thanks.